from Springfield. This is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
I know that we all have a passionate desire to return to the sense of normalcy that we felt before the world knew of COVID-19. Here's the truth, and I don't like it any more than you do. Until we have a vaccine or an effective treatment or enough widespread immunity that new cases fail to materialize, the option of returning to normalcy doesn't exist. That means we have to figure out how to live with COVID-19 until it can be vanquished, and to do so in a way that best supports our residents' health and our healthcare systems and saves the most lives.
This plan does not work. Now, as we look to flattening the curve, we are looking at a decidedly uncertain future. Without a smart, well-thought-out plan to reopen, there may not be anything left to reopen.
That's the House Republican leader, Jim Durkin. And before that, Governor J.B. Pritzker. The governor came out with a plan this week to reopen Illinois, albeit slowly. Not everyone is applauding, though. We'll discuss that and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel, practicing social distancing today. From his home, we have Charlie Wheeler. He's an emeritus professor and former director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. He's also a longtime State House reporter and observer. Also joining us is the NPR Illinois reporter Sam Dunklaw. And rejoining us, a familiar voice to longtime State Week listeners, the former host of the program, Bill Wheelhouse, who is back to help out with some coverage during the pandemic. And Bill, it's good to have you back.
And it's been a few years since I've been on.
Our guest this week is Rebecca Anzell. She covers government and politics for the Capital News Illinois. Rebecca, it's always great to hear from you as well. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And Rebecca, I'm going to go to you first. The governor announced this plan, and I guess to try to sum it up for people, there are five levels, five phases that the governor laid out here. Can you explain for those who haven't seen it where we are now, where we could be headed next?
Yeah, so we're in the governor's second phase. It's called flattening. Non-essential retail stores are sort of reopened, but for pickup or delivery, we all must wear face coverings when we're outside. We can start, going to golf courses or boating if we wanted to. When the virus was particularly horrible, we were in the first phase, which is rapid spread. Going forward, the next phase is called recovery, which will allow for offices, shops to fully reopen, barbershops, salons with capacity limitations and such. And gatherings of 10 people or fewer are going to be allowed, more face coverings. There are certain criteria that have to be met to go through each phase, though. And so state officials are sort of looking at where each of the four regions in the state are. The state is sort of broken up, as I mentioned, to four regions, sort of by the hospital regions that IDPH uses.
And that's been kind of controversial as well, because some people think that the regions may be too big for certain parts where they might be more rural areas where they're not seeing very many cases at all, and they're lumped in with, what could be considered a hotspot.
Yeah, most definitely, Sean. In fact, if you even look at some of the so far the hospitalization data and the case growth data in these regions, you see that there's a big disparity between the northeastern Illinois region, one of the four, which includes Chicago and the Collier counties, and the case growth rates in the other three regions, north central Illinois, central Illinois, and then southern Illinois. Just looking at that data, the case growth rate in the last three that I mentioned is somewhere around 7% right now. And in Chicago, it's over 20. It's somewhere in the 21-22 range, depending on what day you look. The governor's criteria and the Department of Public Health's criteria has been the way that we move from one phase of this to the next is largely looking at keeping that, shall we say, that growth rate, that infection rate under 20%. The surge capacity has to be in hospitals, that is, for people who might need to come to the hospital with COVID-19, needs to be at least 14%. And so far, most of the state is meeting those metrics, and that's where some of the criticism has come in to play so far from some of these downstate Republicans. So it remains to be seen whether or not that will continue on through the month. If it does, the governor has indicated the earliest opening date That is the earliest date that we can move from where we are in phase two to phase three would be the end of the month, somewhere in May 29th. And then another month after that, we could move to the next phase as long as things continue on. But as the governor has mentioned, this is a fluid plan. It could change depending on whether or not there is, in fact, a spike in cases.
And Bill, this the governor making this decision to, again, ramp things up very slowly here. Did he give any indication beyond the medical aspect here? Did he? I'm sure he heard some of this criticism. What did he say about that?
Well, initially, you know, he said, and he was quick to point out names of Republicans in the announcement of it, that he's trying to take concerns of those downstate Republicans, especially, into consideration. Criticism, it was expected. You always get criticism of a plan from the minority party. That's not specifically or necessarily why Republicans are criticizing this. But the Republicans are also downstaters where there are fewer cases, where it looks like they'll be able to advance to the next stage and have barbershops and hair salons open around May 29th. But they still have to find fault with a plan. That's just the way the system works in Illinois. And they're picking out details. Peoria doesn't like being up in a plan with Rockford, for instance. But so those are kind of some of the main concerns. Republicans trying to pay homage to those who are unhappy with the closure, yet they have tacitly supported a lot of this.
Charlie, a lot of these Republicans and others downstate, I guess you would say, in central, southern Illinois, a lot of them have been calling for a regional idea to reopen. The governor says we could see, we could see southern Illinois open earlier than other parts of the state or some other region based on this data. Do you think it's a wise move the way that the governor has rolled this out?
I think it is. I think the notion that we should try and limit the geographic areas as we consider the differences in allowing things to open makes sense. And I would also point out that the people who argue, well, it's a Chicago problem, as I've said before, I think that they're not really looking at the full picture. In the last few days, recent weeks, there have been any number of reports about nursing home problems of infection and death around the state, infections at manufacturing plants, infections at meat processing plants, which are mostly in rural areas, the industrial stuff. And the idea that, well, we can shut off the nursing home, that isn't really very realistic in my mind, because you have staff coming in and out. Unless you keep the staff locked up 24/7, you're going to have contact with the outside world. The same thing with people who bring in groceries, cleaning supplies, all the other materials. And so you can't really ignore the possibility of it being spread. And I think the notion of looking at the regions makes sense, and people are going to argue that, well, I live in Kendall County. Why should I be part of the same region as Chicago? Well, because the people in Kendall County, there are some of them who may actually have to go into Cook County who are essential workers. Okay. So it's not that easy to isolate, I don't think, one community from another with this kind of thing. And I also suspect that one of the reasons the governor has taken a pretty conservative approach to reopening is he's going to wait and see what happens in some of the other states who, in a sense, jumped the gun, even opening up more quickly than the federal guidelines would allow, to see what happens there. You know, 2 weeks from today, what's this going to look like in Texas, for example?
Well, Sam, we mentioned that this phase three we might move into, that could be next for many parts of the state. That would include some retail reopening, also some office spaces, the hair salons. But when we look at one of the harder hit parts of the economy, the hospitality industry, you know, things like restaurants, bars, that sort of thing, you're not necessarily looking that they're going to be able to open that quickly, right?
No, because that segment of the economy doesn't get to reopen under this plan until phase four. So if we're in phase two now, the next we move is to three, and that will be, if all things go well in some regions, that could be at the end of this month. And then we would be able to move from three to four in most places next month. The Tribune had a great roundup on this. They spoke to a number of Chicago restaurateurs. They spoke to Sam Toya, who's president of the Restaurant Association. And when this whole thing began, roughly mid-March, restaurants and bars were getting ready to be closed up for several weeks and to have essentially no income. The state in those early days offered them the same help that they're offering a lot of different segments of the economy, low-interest loans. The Paycheck Protection Program from the federal government is another one that, while that funding has dried up in some instances, they have been able to bring that back. Of course, the unprecedented number of people that are on unemployment right now. A large number of them are coming from the service industry, restaurants and bars included. That was then. You know, they were looking at being closed up for several weeks. And now that the months of April have gone by, May is going to go by almost assuredly without any of these places being open to sit down service, and bars being the same thing. If they're not able to open till next month, the president of the Let Us Entertain You restaurant chain, which is a very popular chain up in Chicago, said the frank fact of the matter is that some restaurants may simply not survive. And it's not a matter of whether or not they're getting state or federal help. Some might not survive. Now, I think an important, I don't want to say caveat, but an important additional piece of information for people to know is that in many places, restaurants are open, but they're open for takeout. DoorDash and others are serving many people, even right here in the Springfield area, with chain restaurants as well as local restaurants. You can go and get curbside order. You can order on your phone or on your tablet or on your computer, and soon food will arrive to you. So segments, portions of the restaurant economy are open, but you do lose something when you aren't able to go and gather and have these larger gatherings at a restaurant. And there are many restaurants that make their bread and butter on that. So it's shaping up to be likely a difficult next couple of weeks for them, and it remains to be seen who will be able to survive this.
Rebecca, the governor has seemed to be walking a fine line by trying to show there's some positive movement in the numbers each day when he gives his daily briefing. He's talked about that, but at the same time, he's really tried to lower expectations going into the summer. Things like, the big events. This week, he talked about the Illinois State Fair, both in Springfield and DuQuoin, saying those, highly unlikely those are going to be able to happen. Of course, we've seen music festivals. We've seen pro sports have to be postponed right now. It seems as though, he's trying, as I said before, he's trying to walk that fine line, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He has, from the beginning, really been very hesitant to give people false hope, and he's continuing that now. He had also mentioned in his briefing Thursday that, he knows that sports are important to people's psyche. So he's aware that these things are important, but he seems to really be relying upon data. He said, the pro sports leagues are going to have to submit some sort of plan to figure out how to hold gaming events. Fans probably won't be allowed there. He said, people should go ahead and cancel any large summer events. Those probably won't be able to happen. And he's said that he's, reticent to do so. But it's important for Illinoisans to realize that this is sort of our new normal, and we won't go back to like the pre-COVID days anytime soon.
As Rebecca mentioned there, she was talking about the pro sports and things. We haven't really talked about the fifth tier, the ultimate achievement in his plan when you can open up to large crowds and stadiums. And that is if there is a vaccine or some kind of real treatment for COVID. And both of those things seem far off, which could mean quite a while in time before any stadium events or concerts, large gatherings really take place.
You're listening to State Week. I'm Sean Crawford. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Sam Dunklaw, Bill Wheelhouse, and Rebecca Enzel. She's a State House reporter with Capital News, Illinois. Bill, let me go back to something you just said. You talked about this, the level five, which the governor had mentioned. What I've heard from people who have been critical of the governor, they've been seeing a lot of the things they've been complaining about, is that at the beginning, Governor Pritzker talked about flattening the curve. And by all estimations, we're starting to see at least getting closer to that happening. But a lot of people feel now he's moving the goal line, that he is moving it back, saying that, you know, we're now going to have to get back to real normalcy. We're going to have to see either a vaccine for the coronavirus here, or we're going to have to see much better treatment. So a lot of people feel as though, you know, they're not getting a clear picture and guidance from the governor's office.
Well, I think this is probably a more clear picture, whether it's guidance for anybody, I'm uncertain. But, now the governor is out with a rule book where he put a true goal line on the field. So, but he's always said it's going to be a long time. And for those restaurants that Sam Dunklaw mentioned, really, they will probably struggle all the way until this is fully open.
Charlie, your thoughts on that? Do you think the governor has, is it right to criticize the governor for, you know, sort of pushing off the full reopening of the economy in Illinois as long as he's talked about?
Well, I think there's a couple of things at work here. One is when the governor issued his first order, a lot was unknown. There were a lot of we're going into uncharted territory. Now that we've had some time to see how this is playing out, what the impact is, what's happening, as Bill said, he's laid out a very specific plan. It's like a 10-page treatise, and it says, here are the things that have to happen in terms of the medical conditions. Here are the things that can happen economically. Here's what's going to be allowed. And so I think it's taking what was originally sort of a flat-out broad generalization and putting in the details. And another thing that occurs to me based on the polling that's been reported, let's say that the state does say, okay, Memorial Day, we can all go to the restaurants. I'm thinking, what will the reaction of people be? Like in my case, I'm somebody who usually, well, back in the day, I would eat out almost every day. I'm not sure when I'll feel safe going into a restaurant again, but my guess is it's not going to be anytime soon.
Let me turn to something else we discussed last week on this program. And Sam and Rebecca, I'll turn to you on this. Both of you have been following it. There have been some lawsuits out there, both by lawmakers. There was one, a federal lawsuit filed by a church. Can one of you give an update on just where we think those stand at this point?
Yeah, so that church lawsuit that you mentioned, it's been appealed to the Seventh Circuit that's up north. We'll see what happens with that. Representative Darren Bailey, who's a Republican from Zena, his lawsuit is also, so he had gotten a win. A judge agreed with him and gave him the permission to be lifted from the state home order. His attorney sort of gave that up, and the case is back in Clay County. Nothing's been filed yet, but his attorney, Thomas DeVore, said that he's going to file an amended complaint, which means he's going to add some things to his argument. I'm unsure where Representative Cabello's lawsuit stands.
Yeah, I don't know if it's come to court yet. And I should mention, these are all lawsuits that have been filed against the governor's stay-at-home order. So again, we're watching those as we go along. But let me now turn to some other topics that we've been wanting to fit into the show here for the last few minutes. But Sam, I'll go to you first. Nursing homes, Democrats actually had a little bit of criticism over how the governor's office, how the Illinois Department of Public Health has been dealing with nursing homes. Well, what did they have to say?
So a group of Senate Democrats, I spoke with Senator Laura Fine of Glenview, had authored a letter to the State Department of Public Health asking for a little more information about personal protective equipment shipments to nursing homes. And the background on some of that, of course, is many of our listeners have been following the news. Nursing homes across the country, and particularly here in Illinois, have experienced a hot spot of cases. Their outbreaks there have been particularly egregious, largely because you have a very vulnerable population in close proximity, relatively speaking, to one another. You know, many of us can socially distance. Those in nursing homes really can't without some pretty strict protocols and changes, coming forward. So, of course, the staff that are taking care of them are needing personal protective equipment like masks and gloves, hand sanitizer, things like that, to make sure that they are safe as they're caring for these residents, especially if a resident or two or maybe even 10 have the new coronavirus. The problem is that a lot of these senators have gotten calls from nursing homes in their district saying, you know, we ordered a certain amount of PPE from our suppliers and we haven't gotten it. Is there anything that you can do? Is there anything that you can, point to at the State Department of Public Health to say, you know, where is the PPE coming from and who's getting it? And I think the reason they did that was because the governor has offered, you know, pretty regularly an update on the amount of PPE that is coming into the state. He usually rattles off just about every week, a large list of this many million gloves, this many million masks. The senators are asking the Department of Public Health for as much as they know to provide more detailed information about where all those millions of items are going to, particularly because the nursing homes are the ones that are among those who need it most. I did reach out to the State Department of Public Health. They have not returned my request for comment just yet, but they have been in receipt of that letter. At the same time that all this has been going on, Sean, just this last week, a union representing nurses and staff at nursing homes just agreed to a tentative 2-year collective bargaining agreement with nursing home management. They had planned to strike today if that had not been accomplished. What ended up being agreed to was, among other things, the wages would be at $15 per hour minimum. They would receive hazard pay and other accommodations during the COVID-19 crisis. And nursing homes agreed to not require any staff to work if there is not an adequate amount of PPE. So there will be no mask sharing, no glove sharing, at least as far as the agreement is concerned. And the president of this union has confirmed with reporters that agreement will be ratified next week. There's nothing that's expected to change, but nurses and staff will not be striking over the PPE issue.
Now, there was another lawsuit to talk about this week, and there was a ruling on it, and former Governor Pat Quinn's name back in the news. Rebecca, fill us in on that.
Yeah, so U.S. District Court Judge Rebecca Palmeyer, which your listeners may remember from the suit that the Libertarian and Green parties filed against the state, she ruled Thursday that the Committee for Illinois Democracy Amendment was wrong. So they claim that restrictions implemented to combat the novel coronavirus made it impossible to gather the necessary signatures for them to place a constitutional amendment on November's general election ballot. That amendment would obligate the General Assembly to take roll call votes on bills that propose stronger ethical standards for Illinois officials. So their attorneys, which, as you mentioned, include former Governor Pat Quinn, have said that they're seriously considering an appeal on that.
Bill, also wanted to mention something you reported on this week, graduation ceremonies. That's a big rite of passage for a lot of seniors, high school seniors in the state. And those have been in limbo because people didn't know how they were going to actually hold a ceremony, deliver these diplomas. But finally, there seems to be, again, some guidance, this time from the Illinois State Board of Education.
And some of that came because a lot of people across the state had planned different types of ceremonies that involved some type of social distancing, kind of an alternative graduation. And the State Board of Education, i.e. the governor's office, said no to those. And there must have been enough outcry and complaints directly to the State Board of Education and the governor's office that a week ago, last Saturday, that they came out with guidance. One of those, they allowed drive-through graduations. It involves automobiles and different presentations, but everybody's staying in a car. And part of that came out because a senior high school student in Taylorville, Illinois, in Christian County, wrote a letter to the governor complaining that all these plans that their district had had for a month had been rejected by the governor's office. And her letter and some other complaints helped apparently turn the tide. And Taylorville will get to have a graduation ceremony later this month, where people come up in cars, the student gets out in their cap and gown, their name gets called, they go across the stage, and they pick up their diploma placed there by a school administrator before that person gets there, so they all have the social distancing.
Well, let's go now to our notes from the field. Charlie, let's begin with you.
Well, everybody is talking about how the virus is having such a horrible impact on the Illinois economy, which in fact is true. We've had a massive loss of, in terms of the state's income tax and sales tax collections. But in one area, things appear to be still doing well, and that's marijuana sales, which last month, April, totaled more than $37.2 million, which was the highest monthly total since the $39 million in sales in January, which was the very first month of legalized adult sales. And that came despite the fact the social distancing guidelines required customers at the state's 50 licensed dispensaries to order online and to use curbside pickup. So maybe people have found a way to deal with having to stay at home.
Sam?
Although, you know, none of our listeners can see me through the magic of radio, my hair has started to get quite a bit long, as well as many others throughout the state. The governor himself in recent weeks has admitted that he's started to look like a hippie without hair salons being open. Those are likely going to be reopening in many parts of the state once we move to phase three. A lot of those businesses, though, will be implementing protocols that include taking the client's temperature. They're going to require face masks, and they're going to sort of extend out furniture to make sure that there's at least 6 feet of separation between clients.
Bill?
We are seeing people driving a lot fewer miles on the roads, and the gas stations across the state of Illinois say they've seen a decline in gas purchases by more than half, and how that trickles down is gas tax revenues are way off, and that means fewer road construction projects locally as towns get their road money from the gas tax fund. And because sales are dropping off of not only the gasoline, but also gambling and lottery proceeds, it means that funding for a road building program is also lagging way behind. And expectations are that road building funds could be down at least 15% for the coming year.
And Rebecca?
So mine is short, but very sweet for some of us. Friday marks the 61st daily COVID update held by Governor Pritzker in Chicago. And as he said on Thursday, to the delight of many reporters and probably others too, this is going to be the first weekend that he's not going to hold his briefings.
All right. Well, that's our time for this edition of State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler, Sam Dunklaw, Bill Wheelhouse, and Rebecca Anzell with Capital News Illinois. You can get a podcast of our show. It's available at nprillinois.org or through the NPR One app. Production assistance for the program was provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Sean Crawford.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capitol by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.